What is up, Noel Nation? I'm Jesse. This is Michael. We're Plant the Spear, and this is a big one. This is,
yes, sir.
You know, when you talk about Florida State football, every game is important, of course. We get up for every Saturday, but there are two Saturdays throughout the season that stand out above the rest, and this is one of them. It is officially Miami Hate Week, and we're ready to preview this game because this is always one of the funnest weeks of the season. It's a rivalry game. You kind of never know what's going to happen in this one. A lot of these games, Michael, I think you were telling me earlier, I'll let you share the stat that like a majority of these games have been within one score recently. So, you know, anytime you play a rival game, you just never know what's going to happen. But, man, I'm so, so excited for this Saturday. Florida State-Miami inside Doak Campbell Stadium.
Yes.
3:30 on ABC. This game's been sold out for months. So I'm looking forward to it. Michael, how are you, my friend? I know you're out in Las Vegas right now, but you're going to be back in Tallahassee for the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Out in Las Vegas doing some work stuff. But, man, I can't wait to get back. And I can't wait to be in Doak at 3:30. It's going to be rocking. You know, we just missed out on a night game. Thanks, Miami. All right. But it's I have so much faith in our Florida State fans. It's going to be awesome. And as you said, you're right. 15 of the last 24 games Florida State and Miami have played has come down to a 7 point or less score game. So now we don't want that because that would make a very nervous day at Doak Campbell Stadium. But but it's just, you know, it's rivalry. It's hate week, man. These kids have been going to school since they were young. You know, the majority of them, coaches don't like each other. Fans don't like each other. It's come on. Let's throw down. Let's throw some.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be really loud for a 3:30 game. I mean, obviously, the thing with the time change we just recently had, like it's going to get dark early. The 4th and 14 game was a 3:30 game, and you know, it ended at nighttime. So it'll be plenty crazy in there. I have no doubt Florida State fans are going to show up and show out for this one. You know, of course, next week against North Alabama, we get the night game at 6:30. But they finally, man, they got us with the CW.
We're going to avoid that.
I thought we were going to make it all year without the CW. And then, daggone, they snuck it in right there at the end. But so that it's just unfortunate this one couldn't be at 6:30. But it's going to be a huge atmosphere. Oh, I can't wait.
Time.
And, you know, the spread on this one is 14.5. So, like you said, it shouldn't you're not hoping for it to be close, but because you're a two-score favorite.
Yep.
But anything goes in a rivalry game. And I will say that, like, I had an opportunity at ACC Media Days to interview some of the Miami guys. And, you know, and it's funny the reason I did it because I'm like, I don't really care about the Miami guys. But there was not a whole lot of people in there because they weren't very good. So they were pretty easy to get to. you know, no one really cared about what was going on in there. But you know, they did mention that, like, I asked them about the rivalry, and they said, you know, it does mean a little bit more throughout the season. So they do put a little extra energy in this one, and that goes for Florida State players too. And you know, they talked about how they realized that how crazy of an atmosphere that Doak Campbell is. And, you know, of course, they don't get that. So it is totally different for them. And speaking of, you know, talking about having 100 people in attendance, which is normal for a Miami home game, Florida State should have about 100 recruits on campus for this one. So this
is a big deal.
It's a huge weekend, man. This is really, really big. This is going to be your last big home game of the year to really get recruits on campus. So, man, there's just so much reason to be excited in this one. We know the last meeting, man, I would love for it to go that way again.
Oh, it'd be so nice.
Florida State absolutely ragdolled Miami 45-3. That game was over after the one play to Pokey Wilson. I mean, it was like once you put 7 on the board, you really could have walked off the field because it was over after that.
My best, the best parts of that game was every time the camera would pan to Mario Cristobal, he just looked like he's like he just didn't know what hit him. It was just like
he just didn't want to be there.
Boom,
right now.
Boom. He was just done.
He's just in a cage of emotions there, just struggling, just having a long night there. And the last one in Doak, Florida State won. We know that was a 3:30 game, too. That was 4th and 14, 31-28. So, yeah, man. Now, I know, you know, Miami fans, all 5 of them, they're going to try and come out of the woodwork for at least 1 week out of the year.
Yeah.
And they're going to try and say, we have 5 rings, even if those are, you know, they were carved out of stone because they're so old. And, you know, they do have the series record on you, 35-32. So it is pretty close. But, you know, the thing we were talking about this in pre-show, Miami had a 15-year head start as far as programs go. They had been playing for a long time. And, you know, Michael, as stupid as this sounds, and this sounds really dumb, but this is kind of the best way to visualize it. Like, you know, if you had a 15-year-old kid fighting a 1-year-old, who do you think's going to win? You know,
who's going to have the most victories? Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. So now if you were to give Florida State that 15 years, a 30-year-old and a 15-year-old throwing down, I mean, you got a pretty good chance.
You got a little fighting chance.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So, and they won, I think I was telling you earlier, like 7 out of the first 10. So
that's right.
If you go to a similar footing, the modern era of college football, Florida State does have the edge there. But, you know, talking about 2023, the thing that has me excited about this game, Michael, is when you look at that Charmin soft schedule that Miami has played up until the last couple of games, and, you know, that's when they started sustaining their losses.
Right. That's right.
One thing about this one, Miami is 1-2 on the road. And when you talk about their road, their lone road win on the season was at Temple, who's 3-6, and the reported attendance for that game was 17,000. So I'm thinking,
wow.
You know, they're better at home. If you can, you know, I don't know if you consider a rental home, but, you know, whatever you want to call that there. But they have not played in an environment like this and been able to go and win. Now, of course, it's not right. Their only road game, but they lost the other two that they played. So, you know, how do they do with a Rock and Doak Campbell Stadium will be right. Fun to watch, because I know this crowd's going to be hyped up for this one.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, like you said, they've only played 3 true road games, and they've lost, you know, they lost at NC State. They lost at, you know, Georgia Tech in the inexplicable, you know, I don't know how to take a knee or call on take a knee play. And they lost at, I'm sorry, they played Georgia Tech at home. They lost at North Carolina. And yeah. In the North Carolina game, I mean, they were gaming. They were in that game until, you know, late third quarter, fourth quarter, where UNC just kind of took it off.
Yeah, and I really do think when you bring that up, man, like that, not only that game, but this season has really been a kind of a tale of two seasons.
And yes.
It's like they started pretty good. Of course, we know they didn't play anybody early on, but even like Tyler Van Dyke, he was hot early in the season, had some good numbers. And, man, they have struggled the last few weeks.
Absolutely. And I think I told you this in the pre-show. It's like, you know, you look at that Texas A&M win, and two things are true. At that time, Texas A&M was what we thought was a decent team. And so that win, we gave a lot of credit. Like, okay, Miami, okay. Like,
right,
that's
right.
A big-time win, even though it was at home with, like, they actually had more than the normals. They had 200 fans there for that game. And so we gave them credit. But now we've seen the real Texas A&M. They're terrible.
Shout out, Jimbo.
Thanks, Jimbo. And then, basically after that UNC game, you know, Tyler Van Dyke was just not, I mean, Georgia Tech game, Tyler Van Dyke was just not the same, you know. And you might say, well, man, they won against Clemson. But guess what? Tyler Van Dyke didn't play in that game. Emory Williams did, number 17. He played in that game. And then he played in the, and then Tyler Van Dyke came back in the Virginia game. He still wasn't the same. And then the NC State game, he was even worse. You know, let me just share this real quick, because like I know you, Jesse, you're gonna get more of the stats guy, but this is just indicative of Miami's quarterback issues, because Emory Williams only played in that Clemson game. He completed 72.7% of his passes, 295 yards, one touchdown, one interception. And really, when I went back to watch that game at Clemson, the drive that tied the score up, it was like, I think it was like a 12 or 13 play drive. They ran the ball, or they passed the ball twice on that drive. They ran it basically 11 times.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. And it was their running backs that actually got them down to get that score. So Tyler Van Dyke in the last 4 games. Okay. Let me just go through these. Georgia Tech, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. North Carolina, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Virginia, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. NC State, no touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Mario Cristobal and Sean, whatever, Dawson, they broke this dude.
Yeah, maybe TVD stands for Turnover Van Dyke now, because that's what it's been lately. But
yes,
I think you're right, man. I mean, I know he's not healthy. Like, we do know that. Yeah. He's got a leg brace on. He wears the flak jacket. He's got some issues. I think he's got some back issues too, that he's, you know, it's hard to play quarterback with those types of issues, but
right.
I mean, again, like we talked about before, where this was a guy who was looked at as a potential first round NFL draft pick as a freshman.
Yep.
And then he's just steadily regressed. And, you know, I mean, people can talk about who develops and things like that. You know, everybody likes to make a big deal about that, but I mean, look at what Florida State did with Jordan, where you're talking about a guy who was ready to basically change positions. And, you know,
he's ready to quit football.
Right. Now you've turned him into a Heisman hopeful quarterback. And then you got Miami, who's turned a, you know, potential first round NFL draft pick into just like a broken shell of himself. And
yeah,
I mean, you know, you just, I don't really ever feel sorry for a Miami player, but you almost hate to see it because it's just like he has regressed so badly. And you know, that's hurt his long term, his draft stock. And I think the interesting thing about this one is, you know, what you talked about with Emery Williams. Miami fans have, they have sold the farm on TVD. They do not want to see him back. And now you're talking about potentially throwing a freshman quarterback into that mix against Florida State, against one of the best. Because, I mean, he did play Clemson, who does have statistically a little bit better defense than Florida State. But one of the better defenses that he has faced in the toughest environment he'll have ever played in.
Yeah.
That could be a big impact, too. So that's going to be...
It's so different because he played Clemson. I mean, again,
and it wasn't a lot with what he had to do.
Right. When they beat Clemson. Right. And it was, and I mean, again, it was in a rented stadium. Didn't have a lot of, so it was there wasn't a lot of pressure. He didn't feel a lot of game pressure in a sense. They were going to run the ball and they were, he was going to, they were going to strategically throw when it was optimal. You're going to bring this dude into Doak Campbell Stadium. Now, Florida State is pretty good against the traditional run game. So you're hoping that if the defense plays well, let's say Emory Williams starts, the defense plays to its capabilities, they're not going to be able to run the ball traditionally, which is going to require him to actually put the game, Mario Cristobal, to put the game in Emory Williams' hands to make throws against that defense in that setting that he's never played in before.
Like, which is one of the better pass defenses in the country.
Correct.
Which is why I think they're gonna play TVD. I think they're at least gonna start him out. Maybe if something happens, he gets a hook.
Yeah.
But I think he's gonna start because I think he's really kind of their only chance. And I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like we talked about with some other situations where you go to the backup who also gives you a mobile threat or something like that. Because Emory Williams is not, he's not a mobile threat. So.
Right.
Yeah, man, it's going to be tough. So we'll get into a couple of quick stats, and we'll talk about some offensive defense here just to set the stage. So strength of schedule played so far. Florida State comes in at 9th. This is – I had to use PFF because I tried to use – they have a playoff picture tab on ESPN that has all these cool strength of schedules and strength of records. I scrolled. No Miami. So
Of course.
Just like their trophy case. Not a whole lot there.
Yeah.
So that's
a good one.
So I had to keep scrolling. Like, you know, if you had a drinking game of how many times you took a shot every time we took a jab at Miami, you might want to log off because it's going to be real drunk. Yeah, it's coming. But you're looking at Florida State's played the 9th hardest schedule so far, according to PFF. Miami the 69th, because we know they had that front-loaded schedule. Oh, that was pretty soft. So that's something there when you keep in mind what they've done so far. They've played a much easier schedule than what Florida State has played. So this is the big one, man. This is something that really stood out to me. And this is somewhere that not only Miami is struggling, but Florida State has really improved. And I'm really happy to see this because this was something that we wanted to see this year, especially with Patrick Surtain, is turnover margin. Florida State is now sitting at +7 on turnover margin, which is impressive. I think they were +2 last year. And we just said that we wanted to see more turnovers. So that's really good. Now, Miami, they, on the other hand, they are -4 in turnover margin. So I think when you talk about this game, you know, as we roll through some stats, I think the one way you think Miami can get into it is through some turnovers.
Yeah.
But it's not that they don't create turnovers. They give up so many turnovers that I think that's something where, you know, if Florida State gets 2 or 3 turnovers in this game, it could get out of hand quick, and that's the interesting thing for me.
Nice.
Like, you know, anytime we talk about a rivalry game, you think it has the potential to be close. Of course it does, but this is one of those games where it feels like if things come unraveled for Miami, if TVD's off or he gets, you know, he takes a shot early on or something like that from the pass rush and things come unraveled, this could end up being another 30-point game easily. So
Me too.
So talking about some advanced metrics here, Florida State comes in at 7th, Miami at 28th in your team rankings. Offense, Florida State's at 9th, Miami's at 48th. Defense, Florida State's at 11th, Miami's at 26th. Special teams, Florida State is at 18th, Miami's at 8th. So special teams will be something to keep your eye on here. You know, they do have Borgalis, who is a good kicker. They have, I think they've taken a couple of punts back for a touchdown. I have some notes on that too. So let's talk about Miami's offense first.
Okay.
So Scoring offense comes in at 32.1 points per game, but versus Power 5, that number drops down to 27 because, you know, they haven't played.
That's
They haven't played a whole lot of Power 5 teams. And when you talk about Florida State's defense, their scoring defense is allowing 17 points per game. So, again, the offense has been a struggle for them. When you look at their passing offense, 261 yards a game on average, 42nd. And their rushing offense, 177 yards per game, 41st. So they're pretty middle of the road. Yeah. They have some good running backs. They have some good offensive linemen. But I think right now the problem with Miami is Restrepo is he's pretty decent. You know, he's anywhere near what you got in Keon or Johnny.
No.
And then they have Colby Young, who is 6'5", who's a talented young receiver. But I think with the quarterback situation that they have right now, they're not really able to get the most out of an already not great receiver group.
Correct.
So they have to lean on the run, and then you can change the way that you play defense.
Right.
You know, because I think what Florida State can do is probably hopefully try and make them one-dimensional and try and make either an injured TVD throw to beat them or, you know, possibly a true freshman come in to beat them.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, I really think that, you know, for Miami to win this game, they're going to have to hope that Florida State makes a lot of mistakes, you know, mentally, that they're too jacked up. They're too energetic. They're playing out of their box or whatever you want to call it there with their mind there. They make some turnovers and that the defense if Florida State allows Miami to gash them, I could definitely see this game going deep into the fourth quarter as a one score game for sure. Florida State cannot let Miami gash them because they're going to depend on their run game. Even if TVD does play, they're going to try to, I would imagine, now this is Mario Cristobal we're talking about here, but I would imagine that they're going to try to really depend heavily on the run game and use the run to set up the pass to be able to throw and to make those deep things. Now, the other side of those, when I watched that NC State game, they had him chucking all over the field, you know, in that game. And so you're almost like, does Mario understand? Like, dude, this, yes, you have Tyler Van Dyke, but he is not right now. I mean, they threw the ball 38 times in that game against NC State. Now, yes, they were losing most of that game, but at one point they were only, it was 10-6 in the second at halftime. NC State was up 10-6, okay? Miami could only muster two field goals. And then it was in the fourth quarter, Miami had them shut out basically in the third quarter. It was the fourth quarter that NC State scored, 10 points. And so, you know, and even in that, they're still having him throw the ball. And it's like, man, your running game is gashing them. What are you doing?
And the crazy thing about that NC State game is a couple of the times that they settled for field goals, they got the ball almost in the red zone and they just couldn't do anything with it.
Yep.
And, you know, the thing is with them, when you talk about Miami, like they do have a depth of good running backs. Like it's not just one guy they have. Now, to be fair, they don't have a Dalvin Cook type of running back.
No,
they just have a lot of good college running backs, not any real dominant guys. And their offensive line is pretty good. I think they're maybe not as good as advertised, but they are a pretty veteran group with some transfers that they got there.
Yep.
But yeah, man, it's just like, and the other thing when I went back and watched the NC State game is this is an offense. And like you said, they do run the ball a lot. That's a trait of Mario Cristobal, like being a former offensive line coach. That's what he does. They ran the ball predominantly at Oregon, even with a first-round NFL draft pick, Justin Herbert at quarterback. So they are going to try and establish run. That is their identity. But, you know, you see this offense. They get some things rolling. But then they just make there's so many mistakes that it's just they can't get out of their own way. And this is something we were talking about pre-show. It just kind of – they look like a little bit of an undisciplined, poorly coached team. Yeah. I know a lot of us don't think that Mario Cristobal, as good of a recruiter as he may be, is not the greatest in-game coach. And
correct.
You know, like when you watch the NC State game, Tyler Van Dyke scrambles for a first down. It gets called back for a holding call. The next play is a strip sack. And then NC State, you know, they're trying to go down and score on it. So it's like it's just so many times that they get the ball on a strip sack in the red zone against NC State, throw a pick in the end zone. There's just so many little things that they just can't get out of their own way. And so to me, when you talk about like Florida State and what they can do against this offense, I feel like you should be able to have a good day against the pass. I think they should be able to hold them in check there. I think the running game, stopping the running game, is a little bit what I'm most worried about. Now, like you said, they've done well against a traditional run game, and neither one of their quarterbacks is a mobile threat, especially Tyler Van Dyke, who he will run it a little bit here and there, like scramble for first
down. He'll sneak it on you,
But injured, I don't think he's much of a run threat. And so, I think when you talk about that offense, if you can maybe rattle TVD a little bit early on to kind of make them start seeing some ghosts, because we saw in the NC State game, and this is how you know he's not right. There was a play where the NC State got really close to him on a rush, and he pulled a Tom Brady and just fell down.
And
that's so, right. He's seeing things. And so, like, and one other thing I noticed, too, that is really interesting, man, and I'm going to share this with you real quick. So it seems like the opposite of what you want to do with Tyler Van Dyke is throw the blitz at him, because it seems like if you sit back in coverage and you make him make decisions, he's going to make bad decisions.
Yep.
And so when you look at some of these pressure numbers, because he's thrown a lot of his picks in a clean pocket.
Yeah.
And he has not been pressured a lot. So just going through their schedule, I mean, when you talk about pressure rates, 18.2%, 25%, 13%, 8.3%. Like, he has his highest pressure rate was against UNC at 34.5. All the other ones are like below 20%. Teams don't blitz him. The highest blitz rate. Now, Clemson, he did not play in that game. Clemson threw the house at the backup quarterback. But other than that, he has not been blitzed more than 30% of the time outside of one game, which was Texas A&M. Right. And when you look at the difference between his pressure numbers and his kept clean numbers, so he's been kept clean in a clean pocket, 78.6% of dropback. So he doesn't face pressure often. So if you are able to pressure him with your defensive line, you can make some things happen. But in kept clean, he has 14 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 8.5 yards per attempt, whereas pressured, he has 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. So again, man, and then when you talk about the blitz, not blitzed, he's thrown 9 interceptions. When he's blitzed, he's thrown 2. So, and the same amount of touchdowns. So, like, he's actually better against the blitz. He's actually better under pressure. But if you sit back in coverage and make him have to read for any given amount of time, you can get some turnovers on him. And hopefully this is a situation where Florida State's defensive line without blitzing, and I know Adam Fuller had even mentioned they need to rattle him a little bit early, get some pressure on him because they know he's not mobile. You know, if you can get some pressure without bringing a whole lot of guys, and you can start getting to see those ghosts and then back off into coverage, he could have another multiple pick day.
Yeah, absolutely. I really think, too. I really think that if this team can, if this defense can really shut, and I don't want to say shut down the run, because you're not just going to be able to shut it completely down.
Right.
But if they can really hold Miami to, you know, just not a great day running. They're giving up, you know, Florida State's giving up about 140 yards a game. They're giving up 4 yards per carry. So if they could hold, you know, I say if they could hold Miami to maybe, you know, 3.5 yards a carry or under, you know, you're going to give up some of that. So the just in between the 20s, not letting Miami get big gashes on first down. Yep. You know, that's really big. That's the big thing, is that first down defense. That was one. I think when you go back and you look at that Pitt game, one of the I forget what game. I can't remember what game it was. It was one of the games where one of the frustrating. Oh, it was Duke. What frustrating thing was, it wasn't that the defense was just letting Duke just go up and down the field. It was really like first down defense. You know, Duke was getting 5-6 yards on first down, which gives you easy second and third down attempts. And so for Florida State's defense, if they can hold Miami to 3 yards or less on that first down, then I'm confident then that, like, Miami will struggle all day to move the ball efficiently. It's that first down defense where you know they're going to either, you know, some run, and they run counter too. I saw a lot of that. They try run counter. So they're going to run counter at you. NC State did a great job of trying to attack it, you know, try to spill it, as they say. And, you know, NC State held Miami to 119 yards rushing, 32 rush attempts, 3.7 yards a carry. If Florida State can do the same and make sure that on that first down defense that they're keeping them to about 3 yards or less. Yeah, I feel very confident. I am not as scared about the pass. I think I think if our secondary communicates, you know, we had one bust. We had one bust in that Pitt game. We had one kind of bust but that was really on the linebackers in the Wake Forest game. I feel like our defense communicated really well. I'm not necessarily worried about the pass. If we can shut down their run game as best as we can, I will feel like this is going to be a tough day for that offense.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you can hold Miami to like 150 on the ground or less, yeah, I think you'll feel good, because I don't think, you know, Florida State, now granted you could talk about who they played in the last few games as far as passing offenses, but we know Florida State's one of the best pass defenses in the country.
Yeah.
And the last two games, Miami has not thrown for over 175 yards. No. So
correct.
I think, you know, if you can keep them to that kind of that average there, 200 or less passing yards and around 150 rushing yards, I think you feel good on the day. And, you know, talking about how Florida State stacks up, and I thought this was kind of interesting as you get later in the season, just to kind of give you an idea of where things kind of shake out for the competition. So Florida State will be the second best passing defense that Miami has faced this season, the fourth best rushing defense that they faced this season, the second best scoring defense that they have faced this season. The number one scoring defense that they faced was NC State, which was only separated by Florida State by 1.3 points per game. So we know NC State, they have a good defense. So I think one was seventh, one was eighth, or FSU's tied for 10th. So you're like, you're right there. You're literally less than 2 points apart from each other. And they held Miami to 6 points with no offensive touchdowns.
Correct.
So again, it gives you an idea if this is a similar defense to what you saw, like the performance that NC State had. You feel good about holding them to less than 20 points, which I think wins you the game. And I will say the thing, too, what I saw in that NC State game is, you know, they run that 3-3-5, and they have really talented linebackers, which makes that defense work so well.
Yep.
They were very critical in that game. They you don't get a whole lot of penetration on that offensive line because they are pretty good. Now, I don't think they're as good as people make them out to be, but the linebackers cleaned a lot of things up in that NC State game. And I like the way our linebackers are playing right now. I think we have three talented guys that have really, really been showing out. So I think if your linebackers can have a big game in this one, limiting the run, then I think you should have a pretty good day on defense. Because again, I mean, you just don't know who they're going to play at quarterback. If you play TVD, you're not getting the TVD that we think that, you know, he has been in the past.
Right.
If they play the freshman, you know, it's going to be tough. And this is a defense, this is an offense. We talk about Miami. Just a couple of quick stats here that's interesting. They don't really stretch the field a whole lot. So they're, even with TBD, their deep passes of 20-plus yards, only 12.7% of passes. Mid-range, 10 to 19 yards, 23.4%. But their short and behind the line of scrimmage is over 50%. Almost 60% of their passes are within 10 yards. Now, when you talk about Emory Williams, man, when they brought him in against Clemson, he threw 12.1% deep throws, 12.1% mid-range throws, but then he threw 65% pretty much less than 10 yards. So all they're pretty much letting him do is just dink and dunk, hit the underneath stuff. They're not really letting him air it out. But again, like, you have three backs in that offense with at least 50 carries that all average 5 yards a carry, and the fourth one, the Nebraska, I think Nebraska transfer, Allen, he's at 4.9. So they have a stable of good backs. It's just can Florida State have a good day with your defensive line to kind of stymie that offensive line of theirs? Can your linebackers clean things up? Because I think you're going to have a good day against the pass, and I think you can hold them in check.
Yeah, I agree. I really think, like, when I watched that NC State game, you know, what I thought was, you know, that 3-3-5 is already just a house of horror defense, especially when Florida State has played them too. So I get any team struggling against that defense. I mean, Clemson lost to them. So, Clemson's not that good this year, but anyways. But what I was going to say is that I think one of the things I thought was really unique was NC State, when they would send, you know, cause it's 3-3-5. So they're always sending at least one to two. And then when they were like really blitzing, six, right? So, but they would always do some of that on non-pass obvious downs. So, like, second down, you know. Sometimes they would blitz on first down when it was like felt like a run, that they would send five or six. And so, you know, what I'm hoping is that Adam Fuller will call a game that that kind of gets away from a little of our tendencies of how we've been doing. Now, again, he's been calling great games recently. Like, it hasn't been like they've been bad. But I would love if he would – I would hope that he would take notice of how NC State attacked Miami, because that was the biggest thing that stuck out to me was it wasn't Miami trying to attack NC State's defense. It was really NC State's defense trying to attack Miami.
Yes,
and Miami was playing very responsive. They were reactionary to that instead of, no, we're going to dictate the terms of what you're going to do. Right. And so Florida State needs to do that same thing. They need to dictate the terms of what Miami can do. If you shut down if you hold that run game in check, it's going to force Miami to throw. You play on the back end. He's already proven that over the last four games, he's thrown 10 interceptions to 5 touchdowns. It's 2-1 interceptions. Yeah. And so he's going to make a mistake. Make him make that mistake.
Yep. Yeah, I think you want to put the pressure on their quarterbacks, because you're either getting one that's not healthy or one that's inexperienced. And, you know, to wrap up the offense here, just looking at their third down offense, they are 43.1%, 40th on there. So they're pretty decent on third down, but red zone, 69th, 83.8%, only 54% touchdowns. We know they have a good kicker, but they've struggled in the red zone a little bit there. So you're hoping that Florida State, who does have a top 20 red zone defense, that you're hoping you can keep them out. Miami's not, they're tied for 62nd in explosive plays, so they're not an explosive offense like we talked about. They keep a lot of things short. Now, they haven't given up a lot of sacks allowed, only about 1.3 per game. Like we said, they haven't really been pressured, but it doesn't seem like you need to pressure them a whole lot to have the success to beat them. So now let's talk about this Miami defense up against Florida State's offense. Now, like we said, when you talk about the Miami offense, you feel good about holding them to around 20 points or less. I feel pretty comfortable thinking they can do that. So I think Florida State, like we, you know, you'd like to see the 30-point streak is gone. You'd like to see them maybe get back up to scoring over 30. But I think if you,
that'd be nice.
You right, like you feel like if you can get up to 30 points in this game, that's enough to win.
Yeah.
But talking about Miami's defense, it is their strength. They have a pretty good defense. They have some areas that are a little bit stronger than others. When you talk about the scoring defense here, it is 20. They're allowing 20 points per game, tied for 30th. Now, against Power 5, again, we have to adjust everything for Miami a little bit here.
Right.
27.2 points allowed per game. So, giving up almost 30 points a game. And that's what's interesting when you talk about Power 5 as a whole, because we know Florida State has played all Power 5 teams except for Southern Miss. Correct. And Miami has played, I think, 3 non-Power 5 teams or something like that. But when you look at just against Power 5, Miami's They're on average losing 27.2 to 27. So again, you know, you feel good about where you're at there. Passing defense for Miami tied for 54, 222 yards per game allowed. Rushing defense. Now this is the interesting one. This is where I think this is probably your biggest concern in this game, because we know Florida State has not run the ball well. Like, just lining it up and running it at you is not done great for them. And Miami has a top 10 rushing defense, allowing only 89 yards per game. Now, again, if you adjust that for Power 5, that goes up to 118 yards a game. And, you know, what I was telling you in a pre-show, one thing that I like to provide context around everything, they have faced only 2 top 50 rush offenses this year. One was Georgia Tech, who averages about 204 a game, and they held them to 99 yards. So not, you know, not a bad performance there.
But not bad.
Now you look at UNC, the other top 50 rushing offense they faced, averages about 200 yards a game, and they put up 235 yards on the ground. So it's not that you cannot run on this defense. Yep. And when you look at 4 of the teams they faced were ranked 95th or below in rushing offense and a bad FCS team, those numbers do tend to get a little bit inflated. So, you know, again, this is a defense that's good at stopping the run, not that great at the pass. They're 42nd in third down defense, 69th in red zone defense, allowing a 77th in red zone defense. So not that great either. And one thing to keep in mind with this one, they are tied for 88th in explosive plays over 30 yards. Florida State is top 5 in yards or explosive plays over 30 yards and 40 yards. So you have an explosive play offense against a defense that's been giving up a lot of explosive plays. And by the way, the one thing you have to mention when we talk about offense versus defense in this game, Johnny Wilson and Keon are back at practice. So
yes, let's go.
Right. We're assuming that even if maybe one or both are not at 100%, they should be available for this Saturday. So that's going to make a huge difference, because when you talk about that run defense, Michael, I think you're going to have to throw in this game to find success, to throw open the run, which is something that you talked about last week that they had to, you know, this become an identity of this year. When you struggle to run the ball, you have to pass to open it up. And I think it's going to be the same story in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to have to use the pass to open up this game just to get the run going. And the thing is, Miami's 13th in first down defense. They're 13th in the nation in first down defense. They're not giving up a lot of yards on first down. And so what Florida State's probably going to have to do on offense is go to the non-traditional run game, which is your quick screen, your bubbles, your screens, right? You know, we saw them do that whenever because of Keon and Johnny being out against Pitt. They knew they were going to have to go to those quick throws to the wide, right? Wide out there, and then screens. And they worked for a while, and then Pitt kind of adjusted and they had to go away from that. I think you're going to have to do that again, but the beauty about that is, hopefully, you have Johnny and Keon back. So right. Now Miami can't suck in like Pitt was able to and disrupt right. those screens, disrupt those little bubbles. They're going to have to play back because they don't want to get the lid taken off of them. And now those things are going to work, hopefully, so much better than what we saw. They were working early in Pitt. Pitt adjusted because they were like, they don't got Keon, they don't got Johnny. We're going to play all 11, you know, 5 yards or in of the line of scrimmage. Well, Miami can't do that. Even if they only have one back, even if it's only Keon or Johnny back, Miami won't be able to put everybody up near the line of scrimmage. And because of that, it will allow the non-traditional run game to work effectively. Also, Jesse, now I don't know what the health of Travis is. I've, you know, all the practice reports I've seen out there, no one has said anything. He's been looking great in practice. So I'm assuming it was just
the leg. Maybe,
yeah, that little leg hip Man. Thingy he was.
I don't know if this is for real or not, but I saw someone said he was asked about it and he was showing Mike Norvell a grass stain on his pants.
He was limping. That bro was limping.
I don't know if limping. It just happened to be like a weird, the camera caught him at the wrong time. So I'm hoping maybe it's nothing. Hopefully it was just okay. A grass stain. That's what I'm hoping for.
I love it know. If it was.
Right.
But, I mean, but you're going to, okay. You know, we've talked about all year, we got to run Johnny. The offense looks done. The offense is unstoppable with Johnny. And we said, okay, well, maybe it's he's being saved. Well, we talked about this in the pit, the overview, the reaction is, okay, this is your 3-game season now.
Yep.
If there's ever a time to run Jordan, this would be one of those games.
Right, and I think you saw him run it more in Duke. You saw him run it more in Pitt. I mean, he kind of had to in Pitt. So I think they're kind of priming the well, you know what I mean, to be able to go to that. And another thing you're hoping for in this game too, like you said, you get your deep threats back. So their defense has to at least play differently. You also saw Ja'Kai Douglas coming off a 100-yard game.
Yeah. I'm
hoping that maybe that has awoken something inside of him. And I do think you're going to need Jordan's legs in this one, if nothing else, just to move the pocket to avoid pressure, because Miami, they blitz a ton. And I think that the thing with this is they have a good defensive line. Obviously, you know, they have the freshman standout, Reuben Bain, who's been really good. He's their highest graded defender, leads in pressures and sacks. Leonard Taylor III, he's another former 5-star guy. Number 2 in pressures. He's a talented guy. Mezador, I think he might be out right now. I'm not sure. But they have a lot of talented defensive guys. But their linebackers are probably the weaker of some of their defensive units. Now, the Maui Noah guy, the transfer, I believe from Washington State, maybe was an All-Pac-12 guy. He's a pretty good linebacker. But I think that's something, if you have Ja'Kai in the slot, he can be able to take advantage of these linebackers and some things like that. Like, you may be able to open those screens up and stuff. And the thing, too, that I noticed, like in NC State, was Miami, they do blitz a lot. But if they don't get home, there's a lot of deep shots that are open. And like the MJ Morris kid who, you know, this is so weird. He just randomly decides to redshirt in the middle of the season. And like, I know a lot of people are talking about how they wanted to like maybe get him in the portal or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, if it's me, I'm going after anybody from NC State in the portal. What's that Concepcion kid?
Yeah.
Man, that guy, he played running back. He played wide receiver. He played quarterback.
He's doing everything.
He did everything for them. So that's who I would take out of the portal. But again, I think that you see where if Miami's not able to get home and, you know, Florida State, their pass blocking has been good, but it's one
thing. Pass blocking has been the best. Is what their offensive line does best actually this season, is their pass blocking.
And so you're hoping that if you can avoid pressure, that you can pick apart a secondary that, let me first say, they do have two talented safeties.
Yes.
Cam Kitchens he's good. He was an all ACC guy last year. You know, I might be telling myself a little bit, I kind of voted for him to be an all ACC player this year. Cause he's a good player.
He's a good player.
And then Jameson Williams is another talented safety. But what's interesting here, and we don't know the status yet. I checked on a website that normally lists some injuries, and I didn't see anything listed. So it's going to be interesting to see here. Daryl Porter Jr., who is their highest graded corner, he got injured against NC State early in the game, only played 10 snaps, did not return after he got injured. And he, from what I understand, what they were talking about in that one, he actually was taken off, no weight on the ankle, so he may not be available. Later in that game, Jaden Davis, their second highest graded corner, he got injured in that game, did not come back after he got injured. I'm not sure what his injury was. He only played 21 snaps in that game. But if you're without one or both or neither one are at 100% and you're talking about getting Keon and Johnny back, that might be the difference in the game right there.
Right.
You might just now have two mismatches on the outside that, you know, they're going to have to send a house and try and get home because, you know, when I looked at a couple of that NC State game, the Brown kid who we looked at from UCF at one time or whatnot, like, he kind of struggles in coverage. He's one that I think you could get a mismatch. Like, if he has to step into a starting role, you know, he's not a bad player, but I think if you watching what NC State was able to do on him, if you can get that one-on-one with Keon or Johnny, I think you could probably eat there. If they have a little bit of a depleted defense. Now, I know MJ Morris, I know he didn't put up a lot of stats in that game, but he started 6-9 for 93 yards before he took a rough sack, and he looked like he was injured the rest of the game. Which may have something to do with him redshirting. So, yeah, man, I really do think, like, if they have a banged-up secondary and you get your guys back and they're healthy, you know, Florida State, like we said, they haven't been the greatest rushing team, but if they can do just enough to make them, you know, kind of have to account for both aspects and it's not a one-dimensional type of offense this week, I think Florida State's going to be able to light them up through the air.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just went to my little Kane source that I checked. That's usually pretty accurate about them, and they're saying that that Jaden Davis, the corners, Jaden Davis and Daryl Porter, Cristobal basically said that Davis is doing fine and he's perfect. And then on Porter, he said Daryl was a little bit off on that Saturday, but we feel very optimistic about him. He's looking pretty good today. And so their interpretation, and like I said, they've been pretty accurate, is they said it feels like Porter is the one he is the most iffy about. And so you're probably going to have Davis back. Porter's probably going to be more of a game time decision. And then AJ Allen, who didn't play against NC State, they're feeling optimistic that he's going to be able to play. And then, of course, Joseph, the wide receiver, looks like he's probably going to be full go this weekend as well, too. So they're trying to get players back a little bit as well, too.
Some of that's coach speak, too. Like, we thought Keon was going to play until
that's
he didn't.
Right. That's
and
right.
Then,
that's
and,
right.
And even then, you know, like I was talking about, if you have a guy who, say, maybe Daryl Porter, because say, for instance, we know what his was. It was an ankle.
Right.
It was clearly an ankle.
Right.
Even if he's back, but he's 80% on a taped up ankle, now you're being asked to cover either Johnny Wilson or Keon Coleman.
Right.
You know, they might put you in a blender. And so it could get ugly quick. So but I really do think with Miami, it's going to be avoiding the pressure to be able to get yourself enough time to get these passes off. Because real quick, I'll go through some numbers here where Miami of Ohio was under pressure 36% of the time. And then A&M 50.9%. going down their list of games, 62.5, 34.1, 35.5. So they've, I mean, Clemson was under pressure, 53.7% of dropbacks, man. UVA, 40%, NC State, 52%. But Michael, when you look, we talk about blitz numbers every now and then, and we've seen some high ones. This is crazy. Some of their blitz numbers. I mean, they're blitzing, looking down their schedule. They didn't blitz a whole lot in Miami of Ohio, probably because they didn't have to, but A&M, they blitzed 57.9% of dropbacks. Bethune-Cookman, 56.3%. UNC, 51.2%. UVA, 51%. NC State last week, they blitzed 60% of the time. So they're going to bring some heat.
Man.
You just have to be able to avoid that pressure. And, you know, I will say, like, that is something you have to account for, because they brought a corner blitz against NC State. He hit Morris, blew him up. He took a big shot. That was the one where he got injured, and it also ended up being in a turnover, only their second fumble of the year. So, but I feel like if you can account for that pressure, and, you know, obviously you worry, you just want to keep Jordan upright. If you can do that, man, I feel good about what you should be able to do against that defense. Even though they do have a good defensive line, I feel like it's not the best that you faced.
Right. Well, and the other thing is this, like, that one play, this was indicative of, you know, who's in the backfield making the line checks, helping the offensive line get the right, you know, get the right, like, count up to, so who they're going to block. You had MJ Morris back there, and Miami rushed, I think it was four or three. They had four on the line. They ended up rushing three on the line, and then a corner blitz come. Okay. And the offensive linemen, because of the way they were aligned on the defensive line, they had one defensive end on the tackle here, and then at the corner. And so when the ball was hiked, the defensive end hit that tackle, and the tackle didn't pass him off to the guard. And so that corner had a free shot to
MJ Morris. It was funny. You had two guys blocking one guy, and then the corner came untouched. And it was like –
Bro, you had one guy. Well, you had one guy just kind of standing there. He was looking around like, I ain't supposed to block anybody. And so I think that was indicative of the quarterback not recognizing it and not making the right line check. The center also not making the line check. So you would imagine with Maurice Smith, center, Jordan Travis, they're going to be able to see those corner blitzes coming as best part. And then, of course, you know, too. You know, I think Travis will, for the most part, be able to get out of there before something happens, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. And that's the thing, too, is Morris is a younger guy. He's not he wasn't their starter at the beginning of the year. So, like you said, he doesn't have that veteran experience. Now, when you talk about Florida State and going against that defense, so Florida State will be the second best passing offense that they faced so far this season. We know UNC's got a really good passing offense.
Yeah.
They'll be the third best rushing offense that they faced. And that says something, because Florida State doesn't have a great rushing offense. And then they will be the best scoring offense Miami has faced this season. So again, you're talking about, this is going to be one of Miami's toughest tests. And they're going to be one of Florida State's, you know, kind of upper tier tests, but it's not going to be like what they've already faced. And the interesting thing that I bring that up for is, you know, when you talk about the two offenses that are pretty close to each other, FSU right now in scoring offense is actually seventh, and UNC is eighth. So we're, again, we are right there.
Very close. Yeah.
And UNC put up 41 points. So yes, they did. You're hoping that Florida State can have a similar outing there. Now, again, like I said, it comes down to when you talk about Miami's schedule. And, you know, it's funny, when I was doing some, I just have to mention this one little shot real quick on Miami, because I was talking, we were doing some numbers, and I had where Miami will be the second best passing offense that Florida State has faced, the seventh best rushing offense, and the third best scoring offense. And I tried to find like a comparable team in there on the schedule. They are within 0.8 of a point of Boston College. So, they got the same record as Boston College. They got the same kind of offense as Boston College, which, you know, Boston College actually surprisingly was like top 10 in rushing offense. So,
Look at them.
As much as they dumped on the old Eagles, like, it looks like they're, you know, that's a pretty fair matchup. And I think they still have to play BC. So we'll see how that one goes. you know, but yeah, man, I just think, like, when you talk about Miami's defense, they will be the sixth best pass defense that Florida State has faced, the sixth best. So you feel good about them being able to do that. They're the second best rushing defense that Florida State will face. So you're going to have a challenge there. There'll be the sixth best scoring defense that FSU has faced. And when you talk about Miami and Pitt in scoring defense, they're 2/10 of a point apart. So they're pretty comparable. And like we talked about, Florida State put up 24 at Pitt without their top receivers, and it could have been 31 points. So, again, you feel good. Now, again, the one thing that I really want to drive home before we get ready to give our score predictions here in just a second is a lot of this, too, is you beat them by 42 at home last year. So it's not like Hard Rock is a hard place to play. But when you talk about what Miami has done on the road, this is an interesting stat that I brought up here. So Florida State at home is scoring on average 39.3 points per game. If you adjust for the pick six against Duke and the kick return touchdown against Virginia Tech, because that had nothing to do with the defense. That was not their fault.
Right.
Florida State's giving up an average of 8.6 points at home. So you're talking about 39 to around 9. Miami on the road is scoring on average 18.5 points per game, and they're giving up 30.5, and they don't have any non-offensive points to adjust for. So they're getting outscored by around 12 points a game or so on the road, and Florida State is outscoring opponents by 30 points at home. So again, I mean, you know, when you talk about this, it makes you – that's the type of things that make you feel a little bit better about this one. And you know, just looking at, like we talked about with Miami, when you look at their schedule, and we'll just go through this real quick. We won't do all the stats and things, but so they beat Miami of Ohio, who is 7-2. They beat them 38-3. It might even be their best win on the season when you look at what Miami of Ohio has done. Then they beat A&M 48-33. Good win at the time. A&M turned flopped a little bit, 5-4. And what's interesting, again, shout out Jimbo, doing less.
Love you, Jimbo.
Yeah, doing less with more as always. A&M had 3 turnovers in there, but their A&M's wins have to maybe be the worst in college football. Their wins are, they have 5 wins. It's over a 3-6 team, a 2-7 team, a 5-4 team, a 3-6 team, and a 3-6 team. The combined record is 16-29. So that win is nothing like what you saw Florida State do to LSU. Then they win 48-7 over Bethune-Cookman, who's a 2-7 FCS school. They beat Temple 41-7, who is 3-6. Again, 3-6. Like, show me a good team that they've played so far.
Right.
They lost 23-20 to Georgia Tech, which was 5-4. And I believe they were almost a 20-point favorite in that one. They have 5 turnovers. They lost at UNC 41-31. UNC, you know, they're a hit or miss team. Had 4 turnovers in that game.
Right.
They did beat Clemson in 2 overtimes at home. We know Clemson's a completely different team on the road versus at home. And then they beat UVA, who's 2-7, worst team in the ACC, 29-26 in overtime.
Right.
And, you know, they, and that one, they only had 1 offensive touchdown in regulation. They were shut out in the first half, and they had a pick six in that game as well. And then the last week, they lost to NC State 20-6 on the road. NC State 6-3. But again, Michael, you're talking about 1 touchdown in regulation against UVA. You're talking about no touchdowns in regulation against NC State. So the last 2 weeks, they've really struggled. The last 2 games, TVD is no passing touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and less than 175 yards in both games. So, man, it's just – it's tough sledding for this offense, and this is going to be a bad time to march into Bill Campbell in Tallahassee against the number 4 team in the country.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, when I was thinking about that UNC game, I was trying to figure out, okay, you know, this was probably the best – outside of that Texas A&M game, this was probably the best version that we had seen of Miami at the time. You know, they end up losing the game because of, you know, that, you know, UNC got into that. But when you go back and you look at just the drive chart of that game, you know, it starts off both teams punting, UNC scores. Fumble by Miami, UNC punts. Touchdown, punt, right? So first half in 17-14, Miami. They score a field goal at the half. But when you actually look at the chart of those games, UNC averaged on each of its possessions, except for one possession, 5 or more plays. They were moving the ball, and then, you know, they'd have one little hiccup, whatever, and that would stunt the drive. So 17-14, right? Then coming out of the half, UNC goes touchdown, punt. They get an interception, touchdown, punt by Miami, touchdown, downs by Miami, field goal. Touchdown Miami, field goal UNC, touchdown Miami, punt, interception, right? So they basically go on a 24-0 run to open the second half. And then, of course, Miami gets some garbage time touchdowns to make it look better. But really, it really wasn't. And so you're looking at that game and you're saying, that's the – if Miami comes in and plays their best, you're better than North Carolina.
Right.
You and should,
I think what was funny about that game is I remember we were kind of texting during that game, and it was like, yes, the first half, it was like, all right, Miami might be better than we thought. Yeah, and then the second half was like, well, that didn't last very
long. That didn't last very long.
Right. That didn't last very long.
Exactly.
And keep in mind, you know, that was the game where North Carolina gets a, you know, Miami was actually ranked in that game, 25th.
Yeah, they were.
So they win that game, but then they go the next two games and they lose to Virginia and Georgia Tech. So again, that's just such a weird team when you talk about North Carolina. But yeah, man, I mean, they looked good early, but then they just kind of fell apart late. And
it's all been TBD. And so, you know,
yeah,
really the game, and I don't, I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to say what I thought I was going to say, but really what it is if Miami plays TBD, okay, so how long are they with him? Do they have him on a short leash, or do they just stick with him and they're going to win or lose the game with him, right? If they have him on a short leash, then is it Emory Williams coming in? Is it Ja'Cory Brown coming in? You know, what does that all look like? And so, you know, Florida State would be wise to, if it's TBD, man, come out early, rattle him somehow, whether that's, you know, dropping eight in the coverage, making him try to make passes, which he is capable of. We have to remember, he is still an NFL quality quarterback. Yeah. He may not be a first rounder. He's still got an arm. And so, like, let's come out, you know, do not try to play out of the system. Play within the system, rattle him, and force Miami to make a decision. Are you going to stick with him, or are you going to go to the freshman? Because that freshman coming into that environment, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think you may even be in a situation where you look at the Duke game, where you had a quarterback. Now, I think it's different because, obviously, you know, Tyler Van Dyke is more of a thrower, whereas Riley Leonard was a runner.
Yeah.
But I think you felt better about your veteran going into a sold-out Doak Campbell Stadium against a top-five team, managing your offense rather than a young guy, which may be the situation that Miami runs into. But I just think that – I think they're at least going to start with Tyler Van Dyke. But, you know, again, you start to question when you have a guy who turns the ball over that much, you know, turnover Van Dyke, coining that phrase on the show.
Turnover Van Dyke, let's go.
Turnover Van Dyke, that, you know, I think it's one of them where – how long does the locker room support him?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you're out there playing your butt off and this guy's throwing it to the other team more than he's throwing it, you know, like, you know what color uniforms we're wearing, right?
So,
like, you know,
hey, bro, right here.
Like, I'm about to let this defender slip this block if you don't stop throwing it to the other team. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to send a little message. And, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't know, man. I think they're going to at least start with him because of the situation and the environment. So but I think Florida State can rattle him, and I think they can win. So I think, like, we'll go into this one and we'll get ready to wrap things up here with, we talk about this all the time. How does the other team win? Then we'll give our key. So I think when you talk about Miami in this one, I think it's one of those where you have to come out and play out of your mind, like in a rivalry game. You have to hope that Florida State gets a little bit too in their emotions and they maybe press a little bit to try and win a rivalry game. You know, maybe you hope for some special teams touchdowns or something like that, that can be a difference there. And that is one thing that I told you guys I would touch on. So real quick, they are 17 of 19 on field goals, 4 of 5 from 40 plus, 2 of 3 from 50 plus. So they do have, you know, a good kicker. And then Breshard Smith averages 33 yards per return with 1 kickoff return touchdown. So I think you're going to want to get some non-offensive points in this game. And you're going to have to hope whoever you roll out at quarterback does not have multiple turnovers. Because, again, I said, man, when you talk about a rivalry game, we know weird things can happen. They should have hands off Florida last year, and it didn't work out that way. But I do think in this one where Miami should be able to – they're not a terrible team, and we talked about this in the pre-show. Miami is one of only about, I think, 4 teams on your schedule. We talk about Clemson, LSU, Florida, and Miami that has a higher, you know, on paper, quote-unquote, air quotes, blue chip ratio than you do, which means they have more paper talent on their roster. Now, again, I'm taking 3-star Heisman hopeful Jordan Travis over, I don't even know what Van Dyke is, probably 4-star or something like that.
Yeah, I think he was a 4-star,
Yeah, so, like, you know, that star rankings, we know, don't necessarily mean anything, but this
is
a team that
don't translate very well all
the time. Right. They have, technically, there's a thing called the blue chip standard where you're supposed to have a over 50% blue chip ratio to be able to win a national championship. It goes back about 10 years or something like that. And Miami has had it the last 2 years, and you know, hasn't helped. So you're looking at bad coaching and some areas in there, which I feel like you have a coaching edge in this one. But yeah, man, they have some talent on that team. I think that's the whole point. But if it's not used effectively and they don't play their A++++ game, and Florida State is, you know, getting crazy out of emotions or something like that, it's hard to see how Miami is going to come in and win this game.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. Yeah, they have to come out, hope that Florida State plays beside itself and not its normal, you know, focused, detailed, oriented self. And also, too, like, let's just be honest. I mean, you know, while the ACC wouldn't say that Miami is the darling of the ACC, they definitely think FSU is the redheaded stepchild of the ACC. And we have seen already at home, we have not gotten the benefit of the flags. No. And so you have to also hope too that stuff takes place, right? And you get some fluky stuff, you know, tip ball, interception, you know, fumble, all of that stuff. You know, so you have to hope that. You have to hope your quarterback does just enough to keep you in the game, let your running backs try to run it, right? That your defense can cause a couple, you know, havoc plays that, you know, result in some points there. That is how I see Miami winning. Of allowing the rivalry to get the most of Florida State instead of the most of them.
Yeah, and I do think what's interesting about that is, like, they will be hyped up for the rivalry. They will be, you know, really excited about it. And man, I love the way Norvell handles the rivalry. Like, in all of his press conferences, he does not mention their name. Nope. It's completely that other team down there or whatever. Yep. So I love it. And they're going to be hyped up. They're going to be ready. They know what this means.
Yep.
But Florida State has also been in more kind of big game situations. Yep. When you talk about playing at Death Valley, playing against LSU in that opener and things like that. So I think Florida State will be fine about keeping their emotions in check. But that's what you have to hope.
Right.
For Miami to be able to win. Yeah. So now the next thing we'll do is we'll just give a couple of keys for this, for Florida State to get a win here and give a score prediction. So I, you know, when I look at this one, I think it really comes down to with Florida State's offense versus Miami's defense. I think as long as you can avoid the pressure and you can get your guys back at receiver, maybe they don't have some corners that are either available or at 100%. If you can run the ball enough to make them, you know, kind of come up and respect that, maybe that's Jordan's legs or something like that, to give you some one-on-ones with Keon and Johnny, you know, or pick on the linebackers over the middle with some Ja'Kai Douglas or some tight ends or some things like that. We saw Morlock have a good game last week. Jaheim Bell, Biscuits, another guy that's had some good performances too.
Yeah.
I think as long as you can keep Jordan upright in this game, I don't think you're going to run the ball really successfully. Like, I don't think you're going to hit 200 on the ground or anything like that. I just don't see it happening against a good defensive line. But as long as you keep Jordan upright, I think you'll be able to throw the ball on Miami. And again, man, I just think that you should have a good day. And so, like, with this one, I'm going to give a little bit of nod of the cap to the rivalry aspect here, but you know, when I think about it, and I think about, you have a similar defense to what Clemson did, or to what Clemson has, and then you have a similar kind of offense to UNC, and you kind of look at what they did in both of those games.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go. Let's go. Give me the Noles to. I don't think it's gonna be 42 like last year, but I don't think it's gonna end up being close. I think Florida State gets it done. Give me the Noles 34-13 or something like that. Maybe 38-13. But again, I will say the one thing to keep in mind with this one is if Tyler Van Dyke throws a pick or two in the first half, if they fumble the ball a time or two in the first half, and Florida State avoids the slow start like we've seen in the past, man, this one could come unraveled for Miami. I just feel like if Florida State jumps out on them, it could come unwinded pretty quick. But I'm going to take the Noles. Let's go 34-13.
Yeah, 34-13. Okay. I was thinking earlier, like, it's a 14. The spread's come down. It's a 14-point game now. And I've just been thinking, man, if you got Key, even if you just get one back, if it's Johnny or Keon, you know, that's going to help lift the lid off the defense. You got Ja'Kai Douglas, who's coming on strong. You know, you likely got Hakeem Williams that's coming back as well. You know, that offensive line, if they can set up the pass, or if they can pass to set up the run, then you're looking at least covering the spread. But then the more you start talking, the more I'm thinking, I initially had it at 35-20.
Okay.
Was what I was thinking, because I just thought that, you know, it's a rivalry game. Miami's going to get something. But then I'm like, you know what, though? This team, both teams got, well, okay, Miami got better.
Yeah.
In a sense. Florida State got better.
Yeah. Yep.
And this was a team that walked into your house, pooped on your carpet, and walked out, right? 45-3. Now you coming into their house, they gonna beat you. So I got the score. I'm gonna go 35-14.
Let's go. Hey, I'll take it, man. I think that this one is, like you said, you bring up a good point. They maybe got marginally better from last year on defense. Yeah. Offense, I think, is kind of hit or miss. They got better up front. Yeah. That's probably about it.
Yeah.
Florida State got vastly better. And like you said, you know, you went in there and you put your feet all over their couch, like the Dave Chappelle reference. And,
forget you know, your couch.
Right. Exactly. And in front of all three of their fans. You know, there was some surrender cobras in the audience that
That's
night.
Right.
Right. And That's so, right. you know, I just think, yeah, man, I think that it's just going to be when you look at how they've done on the road too, we brought it up where they're being outscored like by 12 points on the road. They're, you know, they haven't played in that tough environment yet. Right. You know, again, I just think that Florida State, as long as they don't play, like you said, as long as they keep their emotions in check and they stay focused. And I will say that my score prediction is assuming Johnny and Keon both play.
Right.
I think Florida State can get it done.
Well, let me just say this, and I know we're gonna end here, but my key to this game for Florida State is don't get outside yourself, and the offensive line has to, like, man, you
need
gotta
your
have
best
a
game from them. Yep.
You need your best game. If we can win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, it's over. It's over.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right for sure. And so, yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm ready to be back in Doug. Like, this is, you know, I understand that, like, there's always the big debate in this fan base, and I think a lot of it depends on where you grew up.
Yeah.
And it's a little surprising because, you know, I grew up in South Georgia, where it's really you're sandwiched between Georgia and Florida fans.
Yeah.
I pretty much only knew maybe about three or four Miami fans growing up. But, you know, they're on the endangered species list. they're headed towards extinction. You know what I mean? Like, you could probably fit their whole fan base in their little half a indoor facility there. So, a lot of debate on who you like or who you hate more, Florida or Miami. I'm a Miami guy. Like, I don't like Florida. I don't like either one, but Miami just, man, something about that program, that fan base. I just, that's why I was so excited for this game. And I think back to the last Florida State Miami game, the one that I was at in 2013, when Miami actually thought they were going to be pretty decent coming into that game. Florida State, of course, was good. And that was one of the craziest atmospheres that I've ever been in. The 4th and 14 was a crazy atmosphere as well. So, like, man, you know, this is Florida State Miami. This is going to be intense. They seem to almost mix it up at midfield or somewhere almost every single year. So, like, the emotions are going to be high in this game. And I cannot wait.
I was watching some just old, you know, I love to, every time Miami week comes around, I love to pull up like the best hits in this rivalry.
Oh yeah, you got to.
You know, my favorite one is I can't even remember the name of it, but it's like, it was rainy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Rashad
Parrish or whatever.
Yes. Roscoe Parrish. He just laid him out, just completely decimated him. And I just think, like, you know, I grew up in South Florida. I was born and raised in South Florida. So I get all the Miami stuff. I hate Florida. I can't stand them. Can't stand the Gators.
Yeah.
And they're backwoods fans. But you know what? Nope. I take that back. I won't say that because I got a lot of Florida fans, friends. But great fans, Florida fans. But Miami, nah, man. It is pure dislike.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a trash bag fan base for the most part, you know. Like, you know, you got to be careful. Like, be smart on Saturday.
Yes.
Don't let them bait you into anything stupid or anything like
that. Right.
Cuz it is kind of that kind of fan base. But yeah, man, I totally agree. I think it's just the rivalry runs deep in this one. There's so many great moments when you talk about it. That hit where, like, I mean, he literally left his spine on this field. And then, you know, the Marvin Jones hit.
Yeah.
That was a big one too. So there's just so many fun moments in this one. I can't wait to be back, Michael. I can't wait to be back in Tallahassee again.
Let's go.
We got the basketball. I'll be at the basketball game on Friday night. If you guys are there and you see me, give me a shout. I'll be in lot 14 on Saturday before the game. If you guys are walking around looking for somewhere to do, come by, say hi. I greatly would love to meet with you guys. I also want to say real quick, while you're in Tallahassee on the way to the game, our sponsor for this episode is Alumni Hall FSU. Make sure you stop there, 1817 Thomasville Road. Load up on some gear. They got the new military appreciation gear.
Yeah, I saw that.
The staff will be wearing for this game. So make sure you stop by. Get 10% off your order with code SPEAR or shop online. It's easy, too. What I love about Alumni Hall, you can shop online, pick up in store. That way you get in, you get out, and you're at Doak before you know it. So stop by and check us out there. Something else you might want to keep your eye on this weekend, Noel fans. If Louisville beats Virginia on Thursday night and Duke beats UNC at UNC, which is going to be a tough task, Louisville will be your partner in the ACC Championship. Is something to watch. There's also some other top 10 games on. Now, of course, you think North Carolina is probably going to win that game, so this may you may have to wait another week. But then, you know, you also have Georgia with a top 10 matchup. You have you have a couple other games. Washington with a top 20 matchup. And then you have Penn State, Michigan this weekend. So it's a good Saturday for football, but I know, man, I can't wait to be back in Tallahassee. I cannot wait for this game. This is about not my mic over, getting so excited over here. So
that's like, how excited you are.
It's Florida State, Miami. This is my favorite week of the year. So, yeah, guys, appreciate you guys tuning in. Like we said, Lot 14, stop by. Would love to meet with you guys. And we will be back. We're going to try to do a post-game wrap from somewhere around outside Duke Campbell Stadium. So be on the lookout for that as well. But until then, guys, enjoy the game. If you're at Doak, scream loud, you know, get all the shots you can in against Miami, because this is hopefully we can put it on them again this year. So
yes, sir.
I'm Michael, or I'm Jesse. That's Michael. We're playing the Sphere. And as we go out here, let's throw up one more upside down new hands.
That's right.
FM. It's you know, the funnest week of the year, man. Christmas comes in November. So
let's go.
Yeah, we'll see you guys in Doak, or we'll see you in the postgame show. So thanks for listening. Thank you for your support. And as always,
go Noles.
Go Noles.